You may want to go through. Oh, they're just gonna. Oh, sorry. Okay, that's cool. Wow. I'll try to make it really complicated. Romans chapter 1, please. I want to look at the topic of ready always. Romans chapter 1. Okay. Verse 8, we read, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." This is Paul's address to the Romans. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, or was prevented, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. For so as much as in me is, I am ready," Paul wrote, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Paul said he was ready to preach the gospel, right? Always ready. "For he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So if a person doesn't get a chance to hear this gospel that Paul was ready to preach, do they have a chance for salvation? Do they have a chance to learn about the power of God? Do they even have the ability to believe? No, you don't get the opportunity. Right. Verse 17, "For therein," in that gospel that Paul preached, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So when a person doesn't get an opportunity to hear that gospel, they don't get a chance to hear about salvation. They don't get a chance to hear about the power of God. They don't get a chance to hear about righteousness that God has made available in the gospel. Right? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. So Paul said he was ready to preach the gospel to the Romans. And as we know, we read about his life, and it wasn't only to the Romans that he was ready to preach the gospel. He was always ready to preach the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 3. There's an interesting exhortation to us in here. 1 Peter 3:13. "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer," verse 14, "for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." It's interesting in the context of God telling us that we're to be ready always to give an answer. The previous verse says, "Don't be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." I guarantee you, that when you speak the word of God or you make the gospel of God available to people, what happens? Right? You'll have opportunities to be troubled and shaken, right? Because for the most part, people don't want to hear it. Right? So, but God's exhortation is sanctify the Lord and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, if there's no hope in us, right? The first point is that we ought to have the hope in us, right? If I'm going to tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ, I got to at least believe it or be excited about it or have that. So someone looks at you and doesn't see any hope in your life because you never, or I never talk about it, or I never say anything that is of any relevance as the gospel, they're not going to ask, right? But as soon as they say, "Well, how come you're always hopeful? How come you're always up? How come nothing brings you down? How come you're not depressed? How come you don't always talk about the government and all the other problems that are happening around? How come you don't do that? And that's when someone might say, well, why? That might be the opportunity for us to share why we have the hope. What reason is it? Be ready always. Always ready. Always on the opportunity to share with somebody why and why we are the way we are. If we are that way, that's up to us, right? Every situation we're in. You know, when the kids are with their friends or whatever, they have the opportunity to mention Jesus Christ as much as we have the opportunity as adults when we're with our coworkers and people we meet. We don't have to, right? No one forces us to. But certainly the opportunity is there. And then I always remember in the back of my mind, you know, if I don't say anything, this person won't hear about the salvation, the power of God, or the righteousness. Things that, you know, we basically now take for granted because we've heard it so many years. You know, we have eternal life. We have salvation. We understand God's power. We understand His righteousness. Not everybody does, right? By no means. In Philippians chapter 2. So be ready always. Always on the lookout. Will I get an opportunity today to share the gospel with somebody else? You know, you go to the mall or you go to a store. Is there somebody in here that I might get a chance to talk to? Right. Somebody at work. No. And, you know, the door isn't always open, but we're always ready. Ready. You know, ready to speak the word. Ready to give an answer. Right. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. I seem to remember somewhere in the scriptures it says that God's good pleasure is that everybody be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Yeah? You say that somewhere? Right? So if that's God's will, and it says He works in you to will and do of His good pleasure, there's a good chance, and we'll read in the next verse, that in fact He does in the area of speaking God's word. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's when you shine as a light. If I don't ever say anything, you know, worthy of the word of God, I'm not going to shine as much of a light, am I? Right? Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Interesting context. God works in you to will and do His good pleasure. God says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Right? Holding forth the word of life. That's when you shine as a light, right, to the world. You know, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, it says there, we hold forth the word of what? Life, right? It's not the word of come to fellowship, right? It's not the word of, you know, do this or do that. It's the word of life. Doesn't matter. The end result for that person is that you have given them the opportunity for life. And if they're a living being, which hopefully we are speaking the word to living beings, right? If they're a living being, don't they already have life? Right? So it's not talking about just natural physical life, is it? What life is it talking about? Spiritual and eternal life. So you have in your hands and in your heart the opportunity to hold forth a word that will bring eternal life to somebody. You also have at your hands the ability to not bring eternal life if you don't open your mouth, or if I don't open my mouth. I can say, well, I will choose to withhold eternal life from this person. Right? I know it's backwards way of looking at it, but in the end, if I have the opportunity and I don't speak, have I not accomplished that? Right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Thankfully, God will get through some other way to that person, but verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit. This is an interesting section here when they spoke the word of God to the Thessalonians. Actually, we'll start in verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, so there's some things that happened to them, right? Remember it says in Peter, don't be troubled because there's going to be problems. And well, that's what happened to them. They were shamefully entreated and suffered. as you know, at Philippi. And yet we were bold in our God to speak unto the gospel of God with much contention. So when they spoke their word of God, what did they get back? Much contention. Right? So, you know, the word of God shows you clearly when the word is spoken, what do you get back? You get a bit of suffering, shameful treatment, contention. Right? So that might be a reason why we shut our mouth sometimes. I don't want my friends to think I'm really weird. What would happen if I speak the word to my friends? They're going to think, oh, you're weird. No one believes that junk anymore. Right? That's old. The word of God is dated. That was written 2,000 years ago. We've come so much further in our thinking. Man has gotten to such a great, let's use the word evolved. Man has evolved to such a great, you know. I'm sure you'll throw that word in there. You know, to now we don't need the Bible anymore because we've got technology. We've got, you know, nanotechnology. We've got multi-gigabyte pipes coming to our houses. Fiber optics. Who needs God anymore, right? Who knows? People are going to think. Well, is that true?
No.
So you're going to get contention, shamefully treatment, and suffering. Those are promises, by the way, right? Verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. When they spoke the word, they didn't do it with some kind of cloak. They didn't do it to say, well, I'm going to bring this person to fellowship, and people are going to think I'm really cool, right? No, they did it because they wanted those people to have eternal life. That's it. You know, our desire for somebody to say, listen, God's desire is every man and woman be saved and come to a knowledge. Our desire, I want that person to have eternal. I don't care if I ever see them again, right? But you've just given them the chance, right? That's their desire. There was no guile, no deceit. Verse 4, but as we were allowed of God, remember, make no mistake, it is God who has allowed us to hold forth his word, right? As we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing who? Men, but God, which tried their hearts. When you speak God's word, who are you pleasing? God, right? You know, if you were to come to me and say, I've won 10 people to the Lord, great, good for you, right? I'm not keeping score, right? God is the one we please. When we speak his word, it's well-pleasing unto God. Verse 5, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory. You see, they were not out to seek glory from men. When we speak the word, we're not out to say, to prove to somebody else, even to our own parents, well, Dad, I did this. Don't you love me more now? Well, his parents would say to our children, I couldn't love you anymore, right? I don't care what you do. I'm still going to love you, right? Well-pleasing unto God. Neither of you, verse 6, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, this is a great verse, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. You know, it's not easy to speak the word to somebody. It's not easy to help people with the word of God. Always easy. It's not, is it? So Paul writes here, we didn't just speak the word unto you. We gave, what does that mean? We imparted our own souls. They did whatever was necessary to speak the word of God. They did whatever was necessary. You know, and you got to ask yourself, I ask myself this, do I do whatever's necessary to speak the word of God? Not always. So you go, okay, well, room to grow. But Paul here wrote that they gave their own souls, right? And we can only answer that question for our own selves. How much am I willing? How much am I ready always to give an answer? How much do I look for opportunities? Where do I look to give my life for the sake of people so they can have eternal life, right? Because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor. Here we go. Labor and travail, right? This sounds really depressing, right? Labor and travail, for laboring night and day. This is all about speaking the word, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. See, they didn't even want money for what they were doing. They didn't want to be a burden on the people they were speaking the word of God to, right? So they actually worked at the same time. We preached unto the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Notice in that section, they dealt with them as a nursing mother and now as a father. They, in the gospel, they dealt both ways. They took care of the fatherly needs and the mother needs.
so those people could hear the word of God and believe.
Right. Verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause, now here, as a result of their efforts, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because you, when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. To the point, they got to the word of God, they read it, they believed it, and they got the results just like they had preached them.
Right.
What a great example of Paul going in with the other believers and speaking the word of God, doing what was necessary so the other people could believe. Right. Look at 2 Timothy. Actually, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. You know, we're not even going to go to the book of Acts today. We could indeed read much of the book of Acts along these lines, as you know, right? Where their regular manner. Remember Philip, when he went to, when Philip preached, he preached Christ onto them and saw amazing miracles. Or when Peter and John, Silas, Timothy, all these great believers went, their regular manner, remember their manner was to go in and preach, right? That was their way of life. Prayer and preaching God's word, right? And I ask myself again, is that my manner? Am I, the word of God is a great, what's the word? Critic, the thoughts and intents of the heart, right? And it's also great to uplift us, but also at the same time to check where we're not believing. Remember, doctrine, reproof, and correction, right? So it's a good check. If that was the manner of a believer that I'm supposed to mimic, didn't Paul say, be followers of me, right? Then if he says his manner was to make known God's word, then I got to ask, well, is that my manner? And if it's not, how do I make it my manner, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18. What is my reward then? This is, this whole context here is preaching the gospel. That when I preach the gospel, there it is, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. The same thing he just mentioned in Thessalonica, right? That I abused not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Right? That his heart, his desire was to gain the more. And that's God's desire, right? All men be saved. And verse 20, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. So to them that are under the law. Was Paul under the law anymore? No, but he said that when he preached to the Jews, he became as a Jew. Right? Remember, didn't Paul go to Jerusalem and do some purification ceremonies? Right. Did he have to do that? No. Why did he? Yeah, to win the Jews. Right. Simple. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. His whole heart's desire, and he says it in Romans, I pray that, you know, I really want Israel to be saved. So he did whatever was necessary, including doing some things that were in the law that were not necessary for him to do anymore, just so he could reach them, right? Eternal life. Verse 21, to them that are without law, who's that? Gentiles, right? To them that are without law, as without law. What does that mean? I don't know. Right? Whatever it meant in the situation that he was witnessing, whatever was required to reach the Gentiles. Maybe it meant not doing things that were under the law. Maybe it meant doing things that maybe Christians think, oh, that's not really Christian. You shouldn't be dancing. You shouldn't be having a beer with somebody. Or I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't say, right? None of those things are... All it says is that he did whatever was necessary to help those Gentiles in whatever situation they were in. Right? To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, he did not go as far as to break the word of God, right? But under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. His whole heart was to reach them. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, to all, that I might by all means save some. You're not going to save them all, are you? Right? Save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So what's he talking about? So run that ye may obtain. What's the running he is talking about here? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he's saying to So run now, he says, that ye may obtain. The run is preach the gospel. Do whatever it takes to reach whoever you can reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I therefore, verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth yet, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, that when I have preached to others, I may myself should be a castaway, that I may not be a castaway. See, he preached the gospel knowing that there was someday, there's going to be crown. It says crown, rewards, right? Rewards. And so he says to the believers there, look, I do this, and he uses himself as an example, right? He says in Timothy, he's an example to believers. And he said, I do whatever it takes to reach the Jewish people. I do whatever it takes to reach the Gentiles. I do whatever it takes, but I never, you know, I don't break the law of God, but I do whatever it takes. Now he says to them, now you run that you may also obtain. And he says, you know, people in the world, and we know it all the time, and all the sports and things of life that people do, and acting and dancing, and all the rewards and wars you can get in this life. People work really hard at it. And he says, they do it to obtain a corruptible, but we an incorruptible. The rewards that we get for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ will last through eternity. Not just for a day or a week or a year or 20 years or 50 years. It doesn't matter. Right? They're incorruptible. We'll close in 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. You know, a lot of times we may think we don't know enough to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, as soon as you know how to get born again, believe God, that Jesus is your Lord and that God raised him from the dead. Guess what? Now you know enough to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? And if a person says, how do you do that? Well, you just say with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, and you'll have eternal life. That's it. So now if you didn't know enough before, or I didn't, we now know enough. But, you know, I'm being a little bit facetious. We all know more than that. So don't ever feel like, you know, I'm especially speaking to the kids here. Don't think you never don't know enough to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. It's very simple, right? You tell them you believe this, and guess what? You have eternal life, and we'll spend the rest of eternity playing hockey together, if there's hockey in heaven. And there's got to be hockey in heaven. If God loves Canada, no. Whatever the situation, all I'm saying is you know enough. In 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou, and this is Paul writing to Timothy, but some great interesting points that are applicable to all believers here. In verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. And Paul again using himself as an example. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. Do you know why they came to him? What was he doing? Preaching the gospel. There it is again. More contention, more suffering, right? More stuff. They all came to him. He goes, you guys are well aware of that, Timothy. You're aware of that, Timothy. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Why? Because it was God's will to have him preach the gospel. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There it is again, right? That promise is repeated many times in the New Testament. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's going to happen. Things are going to go that way. But continue thou, Timothy, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. He exhorted Timothy, you just continue in the word of God. Great exhortation to us. Despite the persecutions, despite the afflictions, he says, you continue in the word of God. The scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, or God-breathed, remember that? And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the word of God is so powerful, it does all these wonderful things. Therefore, verse 4 I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing kingdom, preach the word. You see, he makes the point of, you've known the scriptures your whole life. You know, you've seen the afflictions, the persecutions that come your way. But he says, you continue to stick to the word of God, which is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, that a person can walk with God. And he goes, therefore, you preach the word. Right? Preach the word, be instant, verse 2, in season, out of season. What does that mean? Be ready always. Right? Be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Right? Instant, in season, out of season. It's always. What, you know, read Acts. What happened to these men for preaching the gospel? They were jailed. They were beaten. Stephen was killed. Right? People were killed, beaten, jailed, constantly berated. Right? Because of the gospel. And what did they do? What was their response? They preached the gospel. Right? When they were in, when they had the worst, most greatest pressure on them, they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, you know, we're in good company if we ever get, if one of your friends says, oh, you're weird. Okay. I think that's, it's hard to compare that to a beating, a stoning, a death, and being thrown in jail. Okay, I think we can handle someone saying, oh, you're just weird, right? I think you can handle being saying you're just one of those Bible thumpers or whatever you call them, right? You know, who believes that junk? I think we can handle those kind of statements. I think we can put up with the odd slammed door or the odd, you know, whatever, compared to what our wonderful brothers and sisters went through. Preach the word, verse 2. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Sounds just like what they did in Thessalonica, yeah? Right? All long-suffering and doctrine. That's what they did. They preached the word of God, and they kept preaching it. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. You're going to, there it is again. You know, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the right way of believing. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Again, another reward mentioned the context of preaching God's word, right? You think God thinks is important? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, which shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Right? You see, God says when his word is preached, it doesn't return unto him void, but accomplishes the purpose whereunto he sent it. It's his purpose, his desire that all men be saved, not mine, not yours, but we make God's desire our desire when we speak God's word to people. Right? We follow God, who wants us to be imitators of the great men and women that walked with him, like Paul, like Timothy, like Jesus Christ. Right? Be followers of me, Paul said, as I am of Christ. What did Jesus Christ do? He preached the word, didn't he? He preached the word and operated the manifestation. That's what he did. Right? The same thing we're to do. And it doesn't matter how much we know or don't know. Just preach the word. Just remember, a few words from you, and a person can have eternal life. And I want to be able to stand before the Lord someday. You know, I did my best for you. I want to be able to do that. You know, that's the desire that we should have, to stand before him and say, yeah, Lord, I did my best. You know, and I know some days pass when that isn't the case. That's okay. There's another day coming. Every day is a new day, right? Every day dawns a new day to do your best for the Lord that day, right? And why do we do this? Because he's given us so much. He's given us all that he could possibly give in his son, by having him die for us. Now, we speak the word so others can have the great benefit of all Jesus Christ did for them. Yeah, so be ready always, right? Let's be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is within us. Amen. That's it.